Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. This morning was very unusual. When I left the house this morning, it was 38 degrees. That was the low point. But just a few miles later, as I came upon Mount Selman on Highway 69, it went all the way up to 53 degrees. I thought to myself, when's the last time I've seen a 15-degree change? I just thought that was so funny. Anyway, it's good to be with you this day. Thanks for tuning in. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. That is the number, right? 586-5257, 5257. If you have a question or comment, please feel free to call. I want to just briefly start the topic of acid-alkaline balance. And so this is a very, very complex topic, but what I want to do is I want to try to break it down just very simply. But I want to start off with, there is an organ system that obviously God has designed to maintain how acidic or how alkaline our body is. And it's phenomenal. And it's overlooked. And it does not get the press that it should. But it's your lungs. And so the lungs have so much to do with how you detoxify and how you keep your body clean and how you keep your body in good working order. I don't know if you've ever had a piece of pH paper, you know, where it's kind of a pale, you know, pastel color. You put it in your mouth, and if your pH of your saliva is more alkaline, it'll be more of a blue color. But if it's more acid, it'll turn more of a yellow color. And so somewhere in between, I want to say green is probably like a neutral pH of 7.0. Anything below a pH of 7 means you're acid. Maybe it's 6.5. We could call it slightly acid. What if it's a little bit above 7? It's a little bit more of a greenish-blue color. Well, that would be an alkaline pH. And if it was slightly alkaline, that could be like 7.35 to 7.45. Your blood is continually working to keep your pH exactly at 7.35 to 7.45. I have read stories and textbooks over the years that a person will die within just a few hours if their blood pH drops below 7. Even if it's 6.99, you're a goner. And if it goes above 7.35 to, say, 8.0, which is, you know, still slightly alkaline, that's more than what the body can handle. Well, I came across some research here, and I found this very, very intriguing and interesting because this is a topic that's probably not broached near often enough. You know what the term vitality means, or vim, vigor, vitality, energy, stamina, endurance? Well, this ain't rocket science. Oxygen has got to be the principal primary alkalizing substance for the body. So do you want more of it, or do you want less of it? Carbon dioxide, on the other hand, is acid. And there's a time and a place for both of it, but there's a very simple test that I want to run past you. It's called the controlled, paused breathing test. And if you don't know anything about that, the easiest way to do it is as follows. What you want to do is you want to practice nasal breathing. You breathe in through your nose and you breathe out through your nose. Your lips are pressed together. If you can't do that, we could take some duct tape and tape your lips together where you can't breathe through your mouth. But the controlled, paused breathing test is very simple. You're not trying to take the deepest, biggest breath of air of all time. No, no, no. You're just breathing very lightly in the nose and then out the nose. So you're breathing nasally, right? Well, with this test, as you're just breathing very lightly and very comfortably, if you have a stopwatch or if you have your watch on your wrist, I can see my second hand moving just very precisely. But if you have a smartphone, normally they have a stopwatch feature, and you can set the stopwatch. But when you gently exhale, you either pinch your nostrils closed so you can't breathe, or you just discipline yourself to hold your breath, which I think is easy enough to do, and set the stopwatch. To me, this is one of the most interesting, very simple tests of all time that anyone can do. And so as you exhale, gently through your nose, you set the stopwatch to go. And as you're watching the stopwatch, or if you don't watch it, that's fine too. What you're looking for is, you're looking for the first moment that you have just a little bit of stress, like your body's telling you, hey, I need some air, or I want to breathe. And so that's the moment that you hit the stopwatch to stop it. And so when you do this controlled, paused breathing test, you breathe in, you breathe out just very lightly, and then you hold your breath as long as possible. What ideal is you should be able to do that for 40 seconds. We're talking about comfortable here, though. I realize you could probably hold your breath for 40 seconds if you forced yourself to do it. That is not how this test is done, so you might want to go on YouTube and just read about this very simply. But I think this test is a very good test to determine the level of a person's health. And so I'm going to oversimplify this. Those that can hold their breath easily on the controlled pause breathing test with just light breathing in and light exhalation through the nose, if they can hold it for 40 seconds before they have even a light urge to take a breath of air in or to resume to breathing, then that is ideal, that is perfect. But as you start noticing that a person can't make it quite that far, let's just say 20 seconds, this is where you see higher blood pressure. This is where you see more problems with blood sugar and inflammation and arthritis. You got to remember that as the human body becomes more acidic, you start having more health problems. And the body's trying to maintain its pH of 7.35, which is slightly alkaline. And to a large degree, this is accomplished through breathing. So I want you to do that experiment for yourself if you like. But I'm reading in a textbook, and it's just saying what would be the actual benefits. And I won't go through all the research and every scientific reference. But to me, this is very interesting. You've heard me say before, it takes energy for the body to work right and for healing to take place and for your body to make repairs and for you to function at a high level. Well, if you have no energy, how's that going to go for you? So when you have the right acid-alkaline balance, this is when you have the greatest physical vitality and stamina. You're known for your endurance. Also, number two, maybe, you're going to have greater mental clarity. That is one of my favorite comments to hear a person make, that as they start taking better care of themselves, they have so much greater mental acuity, mental clarity. They usually say something like, you remember all that brain fog I had about a month ago, Dr. Morgan? Well, it's gone. I can think clearly. By and large, that's one thing that oxygen does. And so, as a general rule, for every 5 seconds, you can improve the time of your controlled pause breathing test. So if you're at 10 right now, if you go from holding your breath for 10 seconds as the max to 15, you're going to be able to tell me or yourself that there's a substantial improvement in how you feel and how you function. I'm just had to challenge you, put it to the test. They've done studies and they've shown that when someone has a better acid-alkaline balance, it's much easier for them to get along with others. If you think about what children eat sometimes, I don't know if you've seen this happen before, but you know as well as I do that when you eat sugar, whether that's Skittles or Starburst or candy or a soft drink or donuts, that's all acid right there. You give that to the kid before church services, and what happens? They start acting pretty badly. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you today?
I'm a blessed man.
Good. I like to hear that.
Yes, I like to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I just recently connected with some friends that I see once in a while, and one of them related to me that another of our friends went to the VA, and they told him that he was in fourth-stage kidney failure.
Yeah.
And what causes kidney failure?
Well, one simple thing that can cause kidney failure is having very high blood pressure for a long period of time over the long haul, and it's never corrected and never taken care of. And so all those small blood vessels in the glomeruli of the kidneys, they begin to break down when the pressure is too high. It's almost like if you have too much pressure on a water pipe in the house and it breaks.
I'd be surprised if this guy's ever had high blood pressure.
Well, and that could be true, but that's probably the most common. Now, if I can say what number two is, there's nothing that's harder on the kidneys than eating sugar.
Yeah, I would have guessed that. Is there any way to reverse that?
Yeah, mm-hmm, there is. But the thing of it is, there's not going to be any physicians that really believe that's going to happen, except for
right.
me and you.
Right, yeah.
And so, this
guy's pretty open-minded about that. I don't
think
doctors any more than he has to.
Well, let me present several ideas to you, and you tell me if I bet you anything, a friend like you, you're going to easily write down the information that I'm telling you, and you're going to deliver it to him, and he'll say, hey, I'll do it. But there was a study done recently where they took people that were in stage 4 kidney failure, and these are my favorite kind of studies. They're called controlled clinical trials. And so one group of individuals with kidney failure, stage 4 kidney failure, they get the placebo, which is just the sham. It doesn't really contain anything in it. It could be just a pill. The other group, they received 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of just plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda, in which baking soda is alkaline. Kind of goes along with the topic I was broaching a while ago. And when they give them baking soda, guess what happens? It delays further progression of damage. And so the best results when people had kidney failure were those that took a little bit of baking soda every day. So your friend can start taking a half a teaspoon of baking soda every day. Well, all you do is just put in a little bit of water, stir it up vigorously. It may take about 10 seconds for the cloudiness to go away till it turns clear. And yeah, it's salty, but that's called sodium bicarbonate. And this is one of the ways that your body neutralizes acids. So excessive acids are hard on the kidneys. And so the kidneys need minerals. You've got to give the body minerals if you want to help repair the kidneys. Magnesium, potassium. Oh, those are probably two of the biggest ones right there that a person needs.
Okay.
If a person's eating a lot of sugar, it could be in the form of pastries and donuts and cookies and desserts. I didn't say you could never have those, but if you have them every single day, you're kind of asking for a great difficulty. And if you're drinking carbonated beverages or soda waters, if you look on the list of ingredients, besides the dangerous amount of sugar in them, they contain a substance called phosphoric acid. That much acid, it makes it very hard for the kidneys to repair themselves. And so when you get rid of the acid and cut it out, that's when you start seeing the kidneys turn around.
Okay.
The other thing that I would look at that just kind of pops in my mind, as human beings age, they lose their ability to maintain acid-alkaline balance. And some of this just comes from the digestive tract, because the digestive tract is not working so well. And so for some people, the juice of a lemon, apple cider vinegar prior to a meal, Swedish bitters or herbal bitters, taking these substances prior to a meal, It helps stimulate better secretions of digestive acids, digestive juices, digestive enzymes. Does that make sense?
It does.
So that can be done. The other thing that I would look at is besides the kidneys regulating the pH balance of the body, they do it more slowly. The lungs are the real deal. And so if your friend were to get on YouTube and type in controlled paused breathing test, we would be in business.
All right. Well, I'm going to relay this stuff, Glenn.
Good.
And I've listened to you long enough that I would have hit on three or four of these myself.
There you go. Good job, man.
All right. You have a blessed day. And thanks for your
You too.
For your
thanks
help
for your phone
program.
Call. Let me know what happens to your friend.
I will.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
One thing that comes to my mind, I kind of have a mental image. Oh, please forgive me. But I think about the kidneys just being completely full of, gunk is not the right word. You know how to tell if somebody has a fatty liver? I know I'm changing the topic. But a liver, it doesn't work so well when it's infiltrated and full of excess fat and debris and toxins. It just doesn't. And so if your liver is growing extra amounts of fat, well, what that does is it takes up space in the liver and it kind of crushes and grinds up against the normal liver cells so they can't do their job. So if you have an image of a liver that's full of fat, well, that's about what I think of with kidney failure. The kidneys are full of waste and infiltrate. So the way you determine if a person has a fatty liver is you just look down, and if they have a rather large tummy, they have a fatty liver. If their tummy is flat, they probably do not have a fatty liver. And so when a person weighs quite a bit more than what they should, that means they have a fatty liver. It's about as simple as that. National Geographic years ago, they showed pictures of MRIs of people that were overweight, from just a little bit overweight to moderately overweight to downright morbid obesity. And of course, I love everybody, but when you see somebody in a motorized shopping cart at Walmart and you know that they're suffering, every day is a real struggle for them. Because they carry so much weight, their poor toes and feet and their arches and ankles and knees and hips, they can't handle it. They can't walk from the parking lot all the way to the back of the store to purchase butter. It would be brutal, and I feel bad for them. So I'm glad that the store provides those motorized shopping carts. But they probably have, you know, if you look at those National Geographic photos on their website, oh, my goodness. I mean, their liver is so chocked full of fat, there's just no chance it can do its job as a hormone-balancing factory and an organ of detoxification. So for some people, and this is the point that I started to make a while ago, I didn't get to it with the gentleman that called, but the more that I study intermittent fasting, I mean, do you realize this is a technique that's free? You don't have to buy a lemon or apple cider vinegar, even though those items are cheap. You know what's cheaper than a lemon and apple cider vinegar? Baking soda. Baking soda is probably the cheapest natural remedy of all time. The stuff works like a champ because it helps restore proper alkaline balance. And so for just about everyone that's listening, consider the concept of intermittent fasting. And here's how it works. Let's just say that you normally have your supper or your evening meal at 6 o'clock at night. And this topic is really for the man with kidney failure. And so if you eat at 6 o'clock in the evening, what would be a meal that this person could tolerate? Well, I'd say maybe sweet potato fries cooked in a hot air fryer. Maybe you have a salad on the side that's made of, just whatever type of salad you like. I love coleslaw. So coleslaw is made of cabbage. Cabbage is based on sulfur. What does sulfur do for men? Sulfur helps detoxify excess estrogen. So with men, testosterone levels are usually higher in the morning, but estrogen tends to peak higher in the evening. So if you ended your day with a high sulfur food that helps your body detoxify, this increases the clearance of estrogen. The more estrogen you have, the more your body says grow, grow, grow. And so estrogen and insulin are almost intimately connected at the hip. So anything that causes insulin to go up, which means sugar or carbohydrates, especially refined carbohydrates, increases, it's called aromatization of estrogen. It means it tells your fat cells. Remember, if you have a larger tummy than what you should, it tells them to start pumping out estrogen, but this is bad for men. The more estrogen that a man produces, the more little bitty red spots you're going to have on your skin. Those are called cherry hemangiomas. And so you want those to disappear and go away. And so intermittent fasting. One of the most beautiful things about intermittent fasting is you're giving your body a rest or a vacation. It doesn't have to work as hard. So if you have your last meal at 6 o'clock in the evening, how many hours is it from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 in the morning? That's 12 hours. And so if you don't eat after 6, that's exactly a 12-hour fast. Does that make sense? Now, the really good things start to happen around 15 to 16 to 18 hours of not eating food. And so here's what it would look like. If you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning to start your day, you can drink all the water you want. Well, maybe not all the water you want, but you drink a lot of water, and it's perfect for the body. It helps start the process of detoxification. It helps dilute toxins from the body. You start becoming cleaner. You tend to urinate. You have a bowel movement. Everything that God designed to keep your body in good working order is accomplished with water. I think the more that I say this, I start thinking that we're about 78% water instead of 70% water. So once you start going below 70%, that's when the human body begins to fail and weaken. Oh, it definitely does. And so if you don't have anything to eat from 6 o'clock in the evening till 6 in the morning, you have just performed what's called a 12-hour fast. Thankfully, if you sleep at night, a lot of this fasting takes place while you're in deep sleep. Perfect. That makes it easy to do. But what if you choose, what if you make a deal with yourself and you say, I am going to fast until the 16-hour mark. Here's what that would look like. From 6 in the evening till 6 in the morning is a 12-hour fast. If you went all the way to 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 or 10, that's 4 additional hours right there. So 4 hours plus 12 hours is a 16-hour fast. Now, the one thing that I've learned, and I have totally botched this in the past, so please forgive me, but I've come to learn more precisely that if you drink coffee first thing in the morning, that will break your fast right there. Your liver has to metabolize or process the coffee. So in a roundabout way, that's going to cause a spike in insulin. Water does not raise insulin or cortisol levels. Anything that raises insulin is going to raise cortisol. So the moment you drink a cup of coffee, your fast is over. So the clock starts ticking. So if you have coffee first thing in the morning at 6 o'clock, what's going to happen? If your last meal is at 6 in the evening, that means 12 hours of feeding time. All the good things happen if your feeding time throughout the day is 8 hours or less. And there's a lot of room for experimentation. But I can tell you right now, the healthiest people on earth, they are not feeding 24 hours a day. No. They're trying to break it down into about an 8-hour window. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hey, this I just wanted to tell you, Doc, that I think you're right on track about the cabbage and the testosterone, because that sounds like it's going to make a real man. High testosterone and good cabbage gas.
How could a man go wrong with that plan?
That's exactly right. I heard that, and I'm thinking, now this doc's right on track.
Well, you know what? Even if you didn't want to have cabbage or coleslaw every single night, what if you had? What if you ended your day with either asparagus or broccoli? Kale is what considered a cruciferous vegetable. And then you have, let me see, what else? Cauliflower. Have you ever been to, do you go shopping for groceries very much?
Well, every once in a while, yeah.
Well, what I want you to do, next time you go to the store, they usually have these clear glass door freezers, like in a grocery store, and they sell a product called cauliflowered rice or riced cauliflower. Have you ever seen that before?
I don't believe I have.
Well, I want you to look for it. And they sell it in two or three different formats. Number one, it looks like rice, but it's just cauliflower. Of course, you know what some people do? They just take a cheese grater and they take the cauliflower and they keep running back and forth by using good old-fashioned elbow grease. And they get these teeny tiny bits of cauliflower, like the size of a grain of rice. And they cook them and eat them. In place of rice, they cook cauliflower, which has sulfur in it. And so, what if you had a steak for supper tonight with cauliflowered rice with salt and pepper and butter? Would that work?
That sounds very good.
Well, see, you could do that. And what you're doing is when you get your sulfur up at night, it helps a man detoxify estrogen, which is what you don't want. You're not supposed to develop a female-like chest, are you?
That's right. That's right.
Good.
I appreciate your show. And,
oh, thanks for your phone call. I hope you have a good weekend, buddy.
You too.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And so for a person trying to restore their kidneys, oh, considering an intermittent fast would be one of the ways of doing that. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. This is some of the research that I've come across, the reason why you don't want to be overly acidic. Let's go to the phone lines first. Thank you so much for your phone call. How can I help?
Good morning. I've been listening to your show, and I have a question about, you were talking about what it does for the estrogen level for men, following what you've been talking about this morning. What does it do for women?
Well, estrogen, by its very nature, it tells the body to grow. And so with women, that's going to be the hips and the abdomen and the chest.
Okay, but then I got a bucket full.
And so here's what I want you to consider.
Uh-huh.
There are two hormones that I'm going to talk about. One is called insulin, and you've heard of that before, and one's called estrogen.
Yes.
And so in women, they tend to track each other, which means when one goes up, the other one goes up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the higher your insulin, this tells your body to grow your fat cells. And then the fat cells, in turn, as they grow, they start pumping out and making excess estrogen for you, which is what you don't want.
Okay.
And so what I mentioned to the guy earlier that we agreed on, sometimes all a person, well, one of the simple things that you can choose to do is just eat some cruciferous vegetables at night.
Yes.
And that could be broccoli. Do you like broccoli?
Oh, I love all that.
Have you ever made like a broccoli salad that had purple onions in it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love them. And so if all you did was just make a simple change,
mm-hmm.
make sure you eat some type of cruciferous vegetable. That's going to be cabbage and cauliflower, broccoli, asparagus, kale, Brussels sprouts, radishes are probably in that group also.
Okay.
Well, just because they contain sulfur is what I should have said. And the other thing is, if you could wrap your mind around the concept of intermittent fasting, because anything that causes your insulin levels to get lower or to go down, that is going to lower your estrogen.
Well, I've read a lot of research articles on the 8-hour window of eating.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I went from never eating seconds or anything, and I was in a car wreck about 2002, and they gave me a lot of steroids.
Oh, bless your heart. That'll make you eat everything in sight.
And so, and then my husband would say, don't worry about cooking, because I was turning into a median coming out of San Antonio. I need to go across the Exxon to go to the restroom. And a truck slammed into the back of my truck going almost 80 miles an hour.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
They were putting these injections in, And I worked through all that, and it took years and years and years. But in 2000, and I think it was 2014, when we had a kind of a weird snowstorm in March. I live in Palestine, but I was working in Athens, and I had required training in Tyler, and they canceled it because I worked for the state. They had canceled it the first day, but the second day it was mandatory, and I was in the front seat with seatbelt on, and when, you know, women travel, we turn and talk to each other, and I was turned and talking to the lady in the back, and a car slammed into the back of us again. So instead of like a whiplash going forward with up my face forward, I went forward with sideways, and then the seatbelt snapped back, and it re-injured all of that plus more. Oh, and then here we go with the steroid shots, and it was less than 6 to 9 weeks. I had gained almost 80 pounds.
Oh, my poor thing. I'm so sorry about
that. I've worked real hard to get that off, and in the meantime, I've developed diabetes, and I'm working to get the weight down. I'm working to, watch my sugars and what I eat, you know, whether it's high sugar in food or, you know, what I don't drink a lot of diet drinks anymore, but I'm trying to wean myself off of sweet and low or any kind of artificial sweetener, and I'm trying to get my taste buds where I can tolerate anything, you know, an alternative honey that might be natural or without going putting something artificial in my body.
Well, have you tried monk fruit?
Monk fruit, no. I haven't tried that.
There's a product you can order online called Swerve, or maybe the
Helpers. I guess I had that.
Okay. What do you think?
Well, it's kind of funny. I like their confectionate sugar, you know, like for Thanksgiving to make something with the dessert that has confectionate sugar, I used it. And I can't seem to be able to get the granulated. It seems like they either don't carry it or they're out.
Well, you might have to order it online then.
All right.
So what do you want to accomplish? What would make you far happier than anything else, or what would give you the biggest bang for the buck if we could accomplish what?
I would think that I could get the weight back down so that I have sleep apnea, and I can outsnore a lumberjack and take a roof off a building.
Well, the very thing that I started with is what you need to start with. It's called the controlled pause breathing test.
Yes, and I've got all that information,
okay,
and I live out in the black hole of Calcutta in Palestine, so I don't get internet. So when I go in...
Did you just say the black hole of Calcutta?
Oh, yes. We don't get internet. We don't get cell phone. They said they ran out of internet.
Oh, evidently they did. Okay.
And then you can't even get cell service. You know, you got to go out in the yard and hold your leg and your arm up and your head up and turn around 3 times and catch yourself for something.
What is the closest highway that you live by?
It's going toward Elkhart. I live on 153, and it's between 323 that goes to the Alder Branch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it used to be called Old Boston Road, but everything has a number now.
Everything has a number now.
So the other question is that I'm having a problem with, and it started last year out of the blue in my right hand or wrist, and now for some reason it's affecting the left wrist. And I was diagnosed last year of having what they call, it's either de Quervain syndrome or Quervain syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not carpal tunnel.
No, it's not.
And the way they tested me for it is, you know how you'll put your thumb under it and you're going to flip a marble?
Yep, and you're going to wrap your fingers around it and you're going to like
and,
go
and
pull
I can't,
down really hard.
It's excruciating. And I have an appointment with a specialist this coming week, but I've been wearing a brace that the doctor gave me a prescription, and I went to medical supply and got a brace.
Does that help?
But what causes that? Because I can't attribute it to anything I've actually done.
Well, I had to change the name of it. It's some people call it stenosing tenosynovitis.
Okay, I didn't know if it had.
The reason why I started calling it that, because I had a man come in. He said, "What do you mean I have the queer man's disease?" I'm going, "No. De Quervain's." Anyway, he didn't get it right. But anyway.
Well, my brother didn't either. He said, I was the only one that had that gene.
it means your first extensor tendon tunnel is inflamed. And does the brace help you?
Well, I have more movements with the rest of my fingers, my index, middle, third, and fourth finger.
Do you have a pencil handy?
Still extremely. I can't.
Do you have a pen handy?
Yes.
Okay. There is a. This may be tricky, but just kind of bear with me on this.
All right.
If you were to go on the website Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Or on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
They sell a type of tape called Voodoo flossing tape.
Okay.
Just like there's a voodoo doctor in Jacksonville. I just said that. But it's called Voodoo flossing tape, or sometimes it's called WOD. WOD tape.
Okay.
And so you can buy a piece of tape for like $9.95. That may not sound very impressive, but what it looks like, it looks like a flat piece of rubber inner tube from like an old bicycle tire with a flat tire.
Okay. You
probably make your own. But what you can do is there's a wrapping technique for getting all the inflammation out of that first extensor tendon by using this flossing tape. And you can look that up on YouTube. It shows you exactly how to do it. You just do it for 2 minutes, and you wrap the wrist and the hand and the forearm, and it squeezes all the fluid right out of it. But it's easy to do, and it's very cheap. Well, I think $9 is a lot cheaper than getting a steroid shot. But
is that the other? I don't want to ever get steroids again.
No,
wind up looking like that girl on Willy Wonka that ate that purple thing she wasn't supposed to.
Well, you probably felt like that you gained 80 pounds about as fast as she did.
Well, I kept buying underwear. My mother said, you just bought a package of underwear. Are you buying some more underwear?
Well, what can you do when you're gaining weight
when your underwear doesn't fit anymore.
And so, if you will, just consider taking a little bit of baking soda every single day.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, if maybe that would help with the inflammation that's in the body.
It will help, but what's going to give you the biggest bang for the buck is as your insulin and your cortisol and your sugar and your estrogen go down lower,
okay,
that's when your body's going to be able to heal. So that's why when you've done research on this 8-hour feeding window, you're right on track. Okay. And so if you set your mind like Flint that you're only going to eat 2 meals a day,
mm-hmm,
and it's just going to be meat and vegetables, then you're going to win with this.
Okay.
And so...
And you called it, what, you didn't, did you call it tendon stenosis?
Well, yes, it's called stenosing, which just means narrowing of the tendon sheath. It's almost like a brake cable on a car.
Yes.
You've got this plastic metal wrapper around the cable to protect it from the elements, like salt on the road during the wintertime.
Yes.
You know, when there's a wicked snowstorm in 2004 in Palestine. But it becomes very inflamed. And the more you use it, the more inflamed it is. But it's called stenosing tenosynovitis, which is the same thing as de Quervain's.
Okay.
D-E-Q-U-E.
Oh, I know how to spell that. And I have a master and a bachelor of science, so I have studied I have a hard time saying the
That's hard. That's all. I was just trying to be clever by saying that anyway, so it doesn't matter.
But so if I drink the baking soda water and I order some of this, either WOD tape or the Voodoo flossing tape, and I review how to do the wrapping tape.
Oh, man, you've got it.
Will it tell me how many times a day to do that?
Well, it's an experiment. You just practice it and see what happens. And all you can do is tell me in a couple of days if this is the best that your wrist has been.
Okay.
But it's very easy. You can do it.
Uh-huh.
And it's not harmful. You're only going to put the tape on there for about... or this rubber strap for about 2 minutes.
Okay.
And you can just kind of play with it and see how it goes. But if you write down a sheet of paper that you want to, let's just say, for example, that your plan is to eat 2 meals a day, just meat and vegetables only.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best vegetables are the ones that are very low in starch. And so we have things like...
The grains.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But it's going to be hard to beat cauliflower.
Right.
Have you ever tried the cauliflower rice?
No, my daughter-in-law has. Every time I go to buy it, it goes out. But I like to just sit and eat cauliflower raw.
Well, I think if you were to cook it, you'll help break down some of the compounds called goitrogens or isothiocyanates, and that helps.
Okay.
Because ultimately, if you cook it, it's not going to interfere with thyroid function.
So
when you have high levels of insulin, usually you have higher levels of cortisol. Cortisol suppresses your thyroid. You've got to have enough thyroid hormones to make sure that you can start generating energy in your cells. So in your case, if you do this intermittent fasting for 16 to 18 hours a day, I just kind of added two extra hours, and you eat two meals a day, that's going to be the fastest way that you can get your insulin levels to drop. And when insulin levels go down, so do cortisol and estrogen, which generate excess inflammation and weight gain.
Okay.
And so don't drink any coffee. And if you're going to drink coffee, drink it with your first meal of the day.
Okay. And
And so this is a plan.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry
Christmas kind of girl, and I tell them, no matter where I'm at, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, or whatever your
Well, it's good to think about Jesus being born, isn't it?
Yes. And it seems like it's okay to say everything else except for Merry Christmas, but I'm a Merry Christmas kind of girl.
Good. Well, thank you for your phone call, ma'am. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. There is a phone line officially open. 903-586-5257. Man, this strategy is going to be really, really hard to beat. I mean, you can tell a person that you want them to fast and not eat for 100 days, but that's just not going to happen. And so plan B is just trying to limit the amount of food you eat or have your feeding window compressed to about 8 hours. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan.
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. How's everything on Lake Palestine?
So. It's fine. It is fine. My grandson, who you know, is doing so well, and he's on his own, and he eats right. I mean, you know, pretty much for a 25-year-old. But he just almost won't touch sugar at all. Probably for the last year, but he has got, what is it on your face? It's red blotches.
Well, it's not called acne rosacea, is it?
I don't think so, because he doesn't have any kind of acne or anything.
Well, is it called eczema?
It might be.
Or is it just a rash? Does he have any zits or blemishes?
It's been there over a year.
Where is it located?
It's one place is between his eyebrows, and the other place is down his sort of under. It sort of comes down from there, and it's underneath his eye. And he's getting so embarrassed because it really has been there way over a year. And he's tried several things, and I don't remember what he's tried, but I've tried to get him to make a paste out of the clay stuff, and he says, oh, I tried that, and it didn't work. But
he could be 100% right. Maybe it didn't work.
Okay, but I meant once or twice, and
well,
it didn't.
help me understand this. Does this redness, does it have any flaky skin that peels off?
Sometimes it does a little bit, but and of course I can't see up close anymore.
Does he tell you that his skin, like on his chest and his shoulders and upper arms and back, does he have any little bitty pimples at all anywhere?
No, he does not.
Is his skin otherwise clean and perfect?
It is. It really is.
Okay. But now, does he have any redness around his nostrils?
You know, every once in a while he does. Every once in a while.
Do his lips get cracked and chapped pretty easily?
I don't know. I haven't asked him.
Well, so is it just that the skin looks like there's a red, bright rash there?
Mm-hmm. And then it seems to be growing, getting a little bit bigger. And he's just so embarrassed.
Well, can I run something past you?
Okay. Absolutely.
I've seen so many rashes, it's just unbelievable, and each one has a potential to have a different cause, but let me have a go at this.
Okay.
Do you know if he's taking any over-the-counter drugs or prescription drugs of any kind?
Nothing.
Is there any alcohol use?
Nothing.
Okay, good.
No.
Is
he vapes.
Oh, he does
and
vape? Well, then,
yes,
then
and
that,
I'm thinking that...
That's it, then.
Do you think...
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm kind of blunt because I'm black and white. But when you look at studies on the chemicals that are in the vaping solution, there is nothing that's harder on the kidneys and the liver than those chemicals. You know, and let me say it this way, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I'm just, the people that sell the vaping supplies, they're not doing anybody a favor.
Exactly.
It's just, so when you look at the studies on people that vape, they have some of the highest levels of bladder cancer. You just can't.
I did hear you say that the other day.
Well, and you know, there's a chemical that they kind of genetically splice into wheat seeds and corn seeds and cotton. It's called Roundup.
Ooh, yes.
And so you've heard of Roundup before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's been many people that I've seen that if they do not eat Roundup laced wheat and corn, all of a sudden their rashes go away. And so for some people, I've seen that happen before where they switch to like an organic version. So if you were to eat Ezekiel bread or Alvarado Street Bakery and you avoid anything that's Roundup ready, then all of a sudden the rashes mysteriously go away because those are a burden to the immune system. There is a gland just under his breastbone. It's called the thymus gland.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And if the thymus gland becomes poisoned, I bet you anything, that's probably where I see more rashes on the face, especially the cheeks and the forehead.
Really?
But I've seen people before, they were just so embarrassed year after year. They went from being highly social, loved to go out to eat and visit with their friends and their family and to get together for family functions. They just completely stopped participating.
I can understand that. And
well, it's just so hard, and I feel bad for
him.
But and believe me, no one's casting stones toward him. I love him. He's a fabulous kid.
Of course.
He's not a kid anymore. He's 25. He's a man.
Right.
He's all full-grown man now, isn't he?
Yes. And he's got such a great job, and they've made him one of the foremans, and he goes out, and some of the people they do business for, he has to talk to them and explain some stuff and ask them questions, and he said it's really getting embarrassing because it's just getting worse.
I were to examine him,
right,
that would be the very first thing that I would just try to clear, wipe the slate clean. If it's the chemicals from the vaping solution, we just have to call it for what it is.
Oh,
and, yeah. And then he can go, okay, now that I know precisely that this is causing the weakness. And so if we look at, let me start over here. The skin is one of the most unique organ systems in all the body. I think we have 7 layers of skin. I think I was taught 3 when I was in school, but they've discovered distinctive, transition segments, so there's 7 layers. And so anything that tends to adversely overwhelm the liver, like it's a little bit too toxic, or the kidneys, then it's not uncommon for the overflow to go to the skin. Or I should say it this way, anything that affects the lining of your digestive tract from the small intestine. And, you know, when you vape, how can you keep those chemicals from going directly in your blood? I don't know that you can.
Exactly. And on your face.
Exactly. And so that's just an idea. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Okay.
But, you know, that's the first thing that you've got to deal with. If there's a chemical that's having a toxic or allergic inflammatory reaction, then we just have to tackle and deal with that first. And that may be, you know what, there's 2 or 3 ways this could go down. This could be that if we can identify what's causing this rash, then he can take a step back and say, okay, this is not doing me any favors. What's a better plan? And if somebody can give him a better plan where he can actually feel like he has vitality and vim and vigor and energy and stamina and endurance, that's when people feel really good. And most likely the vaping is just for one reason, because he just doesn't quite feel as good as he wants to feel.
Right, and then they've fed him this line that, you know, a couple of years ago when he started this, that, it's so much better for you than cigarettes. And I thought,
personally, I think it's just a matter of time till all these vaping shops are sued, class action lawsuits, because there's going to be a lot of people that die and get cancer. And, you know, if you told me, what are businesses that actually help the public? Well, I'd say a grocery store does. And a hardware store does, and a mechanic, an electrician, and, Bobby of Bobby's Tires, he blesses people all day long.
Oh, yes, he does.
And it's really Bobby's fault that I'm late to get to work this morning because I stopped. That was my fault because I was the one that chose to stop and visit with
him. He's a visitor, too. He is so, he is so kind.
He, He is the best guy of all time. Anyway,
he is great.
Anyway, but that's the first thing that I would have to consider. And if we can address that,
okay.
It's probably poisoning his thymus gland if it's a rash on the face. So that would be my first guess that I want to sort through and work through.
Okay.
But, you know, he's smart and he's got a bright future.
Yes, he does.
And the things that he can accomplish at his age, he's 25, he's just a kid, he's got the whole world ahead of him.
Oh, yes. So, yes, yes. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
You know what I wish I could tell you? There used to be a product that I used all the time. It was called Sulfonil. It was a form of bivalent sulfur. Out of all the things that I've seen, though, it did more to reduce the cravings for nicotine and cigarette smoke and tobacco than any of the substance I've used. But what he can do is...
I'm going to get some.
Well, he can start using what's called MSM. It's a form of organic sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine a bottle of it would cost, what, $7 or $8 at the store?
Okay.
But he can start taking that every day. Every time that he has a craving to vape, he might suck on a sulfur tablet. I didn't say he's going to like it. The other thing I would look at, there's an herb from India called Gymnema.
Oh, yes.
It is worth a shot.
Suck on that.
Yes. I could tell he's going to be lacking me real. But if he
and
would
me
suck
too
on.
For telling.
You know okay. what? He's going to love me, but you, not so much. Well, let me know how it works out, okay?
I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank
be
you.
Careful.
Bye-bye.
Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that's only one idea, if you didn't catch that. If you purchased a bottle, the tablet form of an herb called Gymnema, Gymnema, and suck on that right before you consume something that's toxic, it may break you of the habit. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. It's me again. I had the testosterone and cabbage comment, but I have one that's a little bit more serious now. It's positive for some of your care for a couple of husband and wife and family that I know of that I got a very positive comment about. Their daughter had an appendix inflammation trouble, not quite to the emergency level, but one of your remedies, they said, really fixed it up. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Glad to help.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for your...
Have a good day.
Okay, you too, buddy. Thank you very much.
Bye.
You can tell he's just a natural, God-given encourager, isn't he? Very positive man. All right, the phone number is 903-586-5257. Oh, thank you so much for your phone call. How can I help?
Yeah, I'm in Fairfield. Let me go turn the radio on.
Thank you very much.
It's me, Dr. Morgan, from Fairfield.
Oh, yes, sir. Thanks for calling.
I called you a while back, but anyway, I think going good. I thought you gained about 5 pounds from Thursday, but anyway.
I can't even imagine how that happened.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad you got to spend some time with some people that love you.
We're having a nativity scene down here at the courthouse here in Fairfield. If anybody wants to come by and see it, we're going to reenact the wise men and all that. Down at the courthouse and all that.
What is the name of the county?
It's Freestone.
Freestone County. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's Freestone County, and we're going to be doing the wise man and the nativity scene with baby Jesus and all that, you know. And we got camels, we got all the animals and everything. So anybody wants to drive by and take pictures and come up and kneel before the baby Jesus, you're welcome, you know.
Okay.
Everything. So I thought I'd just call you and let you know about that.
Well, thank you very much.
I've been doing everything you told me, but I seem to can't seem to get rid of this here belly of mine. But anyway.
Well, have you tried the intermittent fasting?
No, not really.
Well, the key is anything that lowers insulin. What you want to do is you want your body to start adapting to eating fat for a living. And so if you give your body only one option, if you cut out the sugar and only eat two small meals a day or two medium meals a day, your body says, oh, I guess we have no choice. We're going to have to start converting fat into energy.
Well, I have been trying to do that, and I've been eating a lot of vegetables and, you know, cabbage and stuff. But I laid off the cabbage here about this last month anyway. But
if you just do all your feeding in an eight-hour window, it works every time.
Okay.
If you're going to have coffee,
that's what I haven't been doing. See, I'll eat me a banana before I go to bed, something like that, you know.
Well, I'm not trying to say the bananas are bad. I'm just saying that if you end up feeding over a 12-hour, you know, window between coffee and meals and snacks, it just makes it literally impossible for your physiology to do anything other than to convert sugar into energy. So this is all doable.
All right.
Well, thanks for your help.
Yeah. Y'all come see it at the courthouse.
Sounds good. Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. Let me work on that topic just a little bit more. If you make it easy for your body to go to the fat reserves, then it will do that. And the way that you do that is by not eating over a 12 to 14 hour period. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I know I don't have much time. My husband left out on a job. We have our business anyway the other day. It was the day before Thanksgiving. And he'd eaten breakfast. And he'd taken his garlic and his krill and his vitamin, his ester C, et cetera. And I think he just took them too fast. And he said didn't feel really good in his stomach. Anyway, he came back after a few hours. He had to go to the doctor, go to the clinic, because felt choked in his esophagus. And he's had this occasionally if he eats chicken and he eats too fast, it gets stuck in his throat. Well, anyway, he was diagnosed with contractile esophagus. The doctor prescribed him Prilosec. But he came home Wednesday afternoon. Anyway, he felt so bad. He was just constantly spitting up water. He couldn't get the Prilosec down.
Goodness.
Went to bed, slept for about 45 minutes, woke up. I finally got some chicken broth, some clear homemade chicken bone broth down him.
Good call.
And then we had got some banana down. He felt better. He did take a Prilosec. But he's kind of just reversed ever since and hasn't had that problem anymore.
Way to go.
Wants to take the Prilosec every day, and now his leg is starting to hurt.
Well, the Prilosec, I don't want to call any drugs evil. I'm just saying it's not addressing the real root cause of the problem. In the long term, it's going to block the absorption of minerals, and if you block minerals, then you can't be Mr. Vitality.
Right. And I just think he's an A-positive blood. He's redheaded. I think he's an A-type personality, and he just...
Blood type A and type A personality.
Yes. And I think stress, it just gets better of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, have him do that test called the controlled paused breathing test. And then once he tells you what the results are, it's going to confirm that he's just eating way too fast and his body's stressed out.
I think he eats too fast.
Well, anyway, I'm completely out of time, but I love your call. Call me back next week and we'll pick it up, okay?
Controlled pause breathing.
Yes, controlled pause breathing test. Very easy to do.
Thank you.
Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, and have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.